The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This episode of This Is Us Too is brought to you by MinuteWithMary.com. And because you are such a beloved listener of ours, and I just want to have you come over and eat like a half-cooked, half-raw Cornish, chicken? Cornish chicken?
Game hen.
Cornish hen? Game hen?
Yeah, sure.
You don't even know what that is.
The Cornish game hen. Yes, I do.
Oh, okay. When did you eat one of those? Anyway, I would love to have you over, but I can't because you live wicked far away. Some of you live nearby. We should get together in real life. But those of you who live far away, you know what I can do is I can give you a little bit of a gift from MinuteWithMary.com. You can go to MinuteWithMary.com/discount because I'm giving all of our podcast listeners 15% off my favorite product, my 4D mascara. It's so flipping good, guys. And I want you to look fab for all your dinner time, like get-togethers.
I met her when I was 15. Smashed into her in the hallway as I was walking into biology class. And I knew. I knew before her books even hit the floor. I just met my favorite person. That ceremony that you're talking about honored the thing that broke my favorite person in the world. I was staring at my phone because otherwise I would have started openly weeping in front of my son. And that's not what he needs from me right now.
I'm sorry, man. I didn't know.
Stay the hell away from my wife.
Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to This Is Us Too. It's a podcast dedicated to This Is Us on NBC. So sit back, relax, and let's all have a good cry. Hey, hey, hey. My name's Mary Larson.
My name's Blake, and obviously I've never had Cornish game hens. Never. Not once. Never had it.
You know what I really want to do?
What's that?
I want to turducken it up this Thanksgiving.
No, we can't do that.
Why can't I?
Because we fry our turkey.
So what?
What do you mean? I don't know how to fry a turducken.
I bet people do it.
I'm sure that it's possible.
Maybe we could have the fried turkey versus a turducken. Let's have a turkey off. Yes. Do you guys ever get excited about getting together with family and eating, and then you remember that it is a show? I did not get to. I thought I was going to mute that. I was picturing like you knowing what I was going to do, and you would like beat me, but didn't happen that way.
I don't even have that button.
It was just in my mind. When Rebecca was in that kitchen, and she was just like laying it down. Freaking out and like, we're all gonna go in there and we're all gonna love it. You're gonna eat this crappy food. It's gonna be great.
You're gonna keep it together.
I was like, that right there is mom life.
That is what something that Mary Larson would do in a heartbeat. In an absolute heartbeat.
I haven't done it yet with our kids, but in about 5 years.
No, it's coming. It's coming.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And the whole thing with the whole, like, the Cornish game hens and all, like, you would absolutely put, like, a dinner together that's, like, totally weird. And, like, you'd find this thing.
Oh, completely.
That you would, like, you'd find it, like, on Pinterest or whatever. You'd be like, I need to do this.
Yes.
And you would do it, and you would stress out to the max.
Yes.
And it would be free. And then it would just be like, yeah, okay, whatevs.
Yep. 100%. That's how we roll.
That's exactly what would happen. Well, this week it is my story. And I have related to this episode on multiple levels. Multiple levels. Whether it is being therapized and my wife figuring out therapy for me, which has happened. And I did go to therapy, which was fantastic. That is not going to be my story today. My story today is about a fear of mine that I have, and it is debilitating. It is fear of spiders. And something happened recently. Like Jack, who's afraid of birds for some reason, I am terrified of spiders. And one day, Mary and I were in our bed with our daughter at night, and I saw a spider.
As we are every night. We have some form of child in our
bed. And I swear to God, they take turns. They plan it out a week ahead. They're like, oh, it's not, tonight's your night, right? Tomorrow's my night. That's right. I forgot. One day we were sleeping in, well, we were about to get ready to go to bed, and we were about to watch The Curse of Oak Island. I was all excited for it, and I see a spider on our ceiling above our bed. And I had pretty much the same exact reaction that Jack did. No, I did. I got right out of bed, and I was like, okay, I'll get it. And I had a big wad of toilet paper, and I was like, it's okay, we're good. And I'm going up real slow, real close, and as I'm about to squash this freaking spider, it like drops itself
from the ceiling.
From the ceiling with like its little stupid things that it comes out of its butt, the whatever it is,
the webbing.
Yeah, there you go. It drops down and it scares the hell out of me.
Okay,
and then it falls on the paper. My whole arm goes numb because I'm terrified of this thing.
Truly.
And it falls down onto the bed. I cannot move. I was paralyzed. I was like, I don't know what to do. And I was squealing just like Jack did.
Yeah.
Mary can tell you how awful it was for me. It was so bad that I was laughing.
Yeah, I was laughing at you because it was so funny. And me and my four-year-old were just watching Daddy freak out about a spider that's no bigger than...
A dime?
Oh, my God. Not even a dime. It was like a third of a dime, if that. Like one of those more translucent ones
All the legs and stuff, it's about a dime size.
Yeah, no, it definitely... I mean, sure. But the freaking out, I totally agree. When that bird scene came on, I was like, this was Blake last week flipping out about a spider.
Yeah, it absolutely happened. I refused to get into bed I yelled at Mary. I'm like, this isn't funny, Mary.
Oh, yeah.
This is terrifying.
I'm not going to be able to sleep anymore because it's in the bed somewhere. And I was like, it's fine, Blake. There's spiders in our bed all the time that you don't even know about.
Oh,
you're
my
like,
God. Just thinking about it.
You're fine, Blake. Come on.
Oh, God. It's just giving me the heebie-jeebies just thinking about it. Friggin' spiders crawling up. I was itching myself all night. The whole thing. I could just feel it. And then, of course, my daughter was like, ooh, Dad, I think I found it. It's right here.
I was egging her on.
Because this one is egging her on. And my daughter busts balls to begin with.
Yeah.
So she's like, ooh, I got it, Dad. It's right behind your pillow. I'm like, you little wench. I can't believe you just did that to your dad.
You're welcome.
Oh, man. So, yes, I'm terrified of spiders. And it happened. And I freaked out just like how Jack did. And it was terrific.
Now, before we go into the episode details, which is very important.
It is very important.
We got an email that we need to address.
No, it was a message on the gram.
Okay, message on the gram.
On
Instagram.
The gram, baby. The gram numbers are going up.
Okay. All right, Blake.
The gram numbers are going up. Do you have the message in front? I don't have the message in front of me. Hold on.
Okay, honey.
Oh,
so,
wait, hold on.
So
hold on. I got it. I'll bring it up. Because I didn't know you were doing this. So I didn't have it prepped.
Well, because I'm right. So a few episodes ago, we talked about Tess putting on a hat and what that meant. And was it, you know, just Tess putting on a hat, being like, I look awesome? Or was it what I thought, where it was a little like, I'm not feeling so great about myself right now? Okay.
Yeah.
And Blake was like, no, I'm right. And I was like, no, I think I'm right. And then we got this message on Instagram.
So we got a message on the gram from Julia Grove. Who is Julia Grove, you ask?
A VIP.
She's a VIP. She's actually the editor of This Is Us. Someone that we actually called out in episode 402 for the pool. for the editing job. Go back and listen to it. You'll remember, actually, she, Julia Grove, was my great for that episode. And recently we got a message from her, and it says, "Hey, Mary and Blake, just wanted to personally thank you guys for the shout out on the editing effort episode 402, yada, yada, yada. I'm so glad you guys enjoyed it." And then she says, "Oh, and as far as the bet goes regarding Tess, yeah, Mary wins that one."
Boom.
Oh, and you know, exactly in my heart, I was...
And what's so amazing is that Blake got this email and he was like, "Oh my gosh, not only did someone message us," because as you guys know, we tell you this, we love when you message us. We know that we're in your earbuds, keeping you company on your drive, at the gym, doing whatever. But like, we don't really know if we're there with you. It's this really interesting dichotomy that goes on as podcasters and podcast listeners. So we don't know at all who's listening. And so when we do get messages, we get excited. Then holy smokes, we get a message from the flippin' editor of the show. Referencing not only the episode that we talked about her, but from an episode also previously where we made these, you know,
this bet.
Yeah.
This stupid friggin' bet for no reason.
So Blake, of course, is just more so excited that we got this message. So thank you so much, Julia, for reaching out. And then he's like, "So yeah, the hat, we're just going to have to wait and see." And I was like, no. Like, he misread the part that said that I was right. And then he was like, "No, she didn't say you were right." And I said, "Yes, she did, sweetheart. Can you please read it out loud?" So can you just read it out loud one more time, Blake?
So the exact wording, okay, the exact fracking wording to this message was, "Oh, and as far as your bet goes regarding Tess," and the way that it reads is a little misleading. She says, "Regarding the Tess Dawn's beanie at the end of 402, well, Mary wins that one." So I think Don's or Dunn's is probably like auto-corrected. She probably means the reason why or something like that.
Don's means you put something on, sweetheart.
No, I know. But like, she doesn't say the reason why she dons it or this is why she dons it. It just says Tess dons the hat beanie. Mary wins that one. So
the beanie.
Regardless, whatever it is, I was wrong and I will play it for you.
Shame.
Okay, you're welcome.
And thanks for listening, Julia.
Yes, thank you, Julia. And if anybody else listens to this, please send a message to us on the gram, for all we know, because the gram numbers are going up. I'm happy about it. Let's get them up.
I don't think that our Instagram feed is alluring as I would like it to be, Blake.
Well, you know.
But it's okay. Blake's working on it, guys.
I'm trying.
You are doing a fantastic
job. I'm trying to get craft stuff in there.
You are not going to be an Instagram influencer anytime soon.
No.
You know what would be funny is if you actually mock, if it was a Blake Larson Instagram feed.
Okay.
Like you like eating ice cream, but like not sexy and all like monochrome. Yeah.
Just dripping down my face.
Yeah. Anyway, continue. Yeah. The episode details.
So let's actually get into the whole reason why we're here. And podcasting about This Is Us. The title was Storybook Love, which is a reference to the song that Rebecca sings from The Princess Bride, which also happens to be Kevin and Sophie's favorite movie.
One of my top three.
It
was my favorite movie as a kid.
Buttercups.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Director was Milo Ventimiglia. Yeah, that's right. Good old Jack. Good old Jack.
You know.
Directed this episode. And the good news is, actually, that this is not the only thing he's ever directed. He has directed a TV miniseries called It's a Mall World. Then he also directed Dave Knoll Finds His Soul, an episode of Ultradome, and an episode of Sweet 7, and also this one for This Is Us, and it looks like this is the only episode he directs for this season. The writers were Casey Johnson and David Windsor. They are new to This Is Us this season. They have been made co-executive producers of This Is Us for season 4. They have written shows like The Real O'Neills, Gallivant, Trophy Wife, Don't Trust the Bee, and Apartment 23, and also that show Greek. They're partners, so they write together. Just like Isaac Aptaker and Elizabeth Berger, who are the co-showrunners of This Is Us. Same deal, but they're just lower on the totem pole. And that is that. Marvin, what do you got for your Lemonade rating today?
A 5?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. That's the first 5 of the season, kiddo.
Yes,
bring it on.
It is.
Bring it on.
Oh my God, I just loved so much about this episode. Yeah, it's my five.
Okay. For me, I'm so happy. You know, I think you're going to be happy for me too, because yeah. I'm giving it a 4.8. And dare I say, well, it's the horses.
Yes,
we finally got a horse.
Giddy up, baby.
We finally got a horse out of this season. I was incredibly pleased by this episode. And really, because I feel like there was an energy to this episode.
Yeah.
There was momentum to it. And it wasn't like earth shattering. There was no big reveals. There was nothing. It just does what This Is Us does really well, which is just tell these relationship based stories, you know, low stakes.
Yeah.
And let's have these characters interact in a cool familial way. But not only do that, but they're doing this really great thing where they're taking previous episodes, scenes, and repurposing them to give you a feeling without actually having to tell you mm-hmm. what the person is feeling. The first and primary example of it is when Randall is getting overwhelmed and talking yep. about the panic attacks.
Yep.
And it shows what they showed.
The three times that we've seen him have one.
Right.
Yes.
It shows him all. I hate to use this word, but it's a fairly apropos word. It weaponizes this emotional vocabulary, this visual vocabulary that This Is Us has established. And it takes a scene and repurposes it. Mm-hmm. And it shows you quick little bits, quick hits, just to give you a reference. So you immediately understand.
Mm-hmm.
Christopher Nolan is famous for doing stuff okay. like that in Batman and The Prestige, all mm-hmm. of his movies. And another favorite of ours, The Leftovers.
Oh, yeah.
The Leftovers was extremely famous for doing this. If you ever get a chance, go back and watch Leftovers and listen to our podcast about it called The Leftovers Podcast.
No, it was not called that.
Well, at the end,
Living
it was.
Reminders.
It was The Leftovers Podcast, The Living Reminders with Mary and Blake.
Okay.
So I love how it's using these flashbacks and these key scenes and these key moments. And that was the cherry on top of the whole icing for me, on the ice cream for me. It was incredible. What do you got for your GBG, Marvin?
You ready?
Yes.
My good. Mandy Moore being like friggin' amazing at three completely different ages in this episode. Again, just like killing it.
Yes.
Killing it with not only being awesome and on screen so much, but like you believe she is those different three ages in each of those scenes.
Absolutely.
Between the makeup and the hair, but then also how she holds her body, how differently she talks. You know, like older Rebecca is just much more, you know, reserved. Yes, it is the piano. Like, you know, she's very, very reserved. And then you've got like hot mess mom, like my life's chaos right now, flipping out about the Turkish chicken things, turduckins, you know, just like trying to keep it all together. And then you just got sweet, cute, I want to bang all day, every day, pregnant with triplets, Rebecca Pearson,
mm-hmm.
trying her, you know, Rebecca loves to cook. It's like in her love language.
But I feel like she's not very good at it.
She sucks at cooking.
And you said it, not me.
And I think it really stresses her out. Like, I think, you know what? It may not actually be her love language. I would love for someone to let us know what they think Rebecca's love language is. Because, like, she tries. She knows that Jack's hungry. She's got a family to feed. But every time we've seen Rebecca cook, it's been a disaster.
I've decided that Rebecca Pearson is your spirit animal.
If Rebecca Pearson and Lorelai Gilmore had a baby,
it would be you.
It would be me.
You know what? Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Bam! What the fuck's that? A winner.
There we go. We figured it out.
Yep.
Figured it out, man.
You are the spawn of Lorelai and Rebecca.
She wants to cook. Like, do you remember that time, like after she had the babies and she was freaking out of the grocery mart and she was just a hot mess express.
And she had to walk.
Oh God! And what was the thing she had to bring for Thanksgiving? Was it the cranberry sauce?
Yes,
and
the cranberry sauce.
Oh, that was a mess. You know, like the lasagna all over the floor and it's burnt. Oh my gosh, this is me. This is so me, guys. Like,
yeah.
I love you, Mandy Moore. I think you're doing a flipping phenomenal job owning each character with the little itty bitty things. It reminds me a lot of Tobias Menzies from Outlander.
Mm-hmm.
And how he had to be two characters at the same time and how he would change little things about how he held himself, his facial expressions. And Mandy Moore is just kicking butt. All right, my bad Randall, not listening to his wife.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I second this.
She's like, hi, honey. So you know how Tess is going through some stuff? I found her a therapist. And he's like, oh my gosh, great. Because obviously she's like a little uneasy. So such a good idea, wife. And then she's like, so you, I got you one too. And he's like, oh, hell no. Nope. Mm-hmm. And he rolls over and cold shoulders. And it's like, buddy, this is your person who like is supposed to be your mirror and keep you in check. I tell Blake this all the time. That sometimes you need your partner in life to sit you down and say, okay, I'm going to reel you in. I'm going to give you the hard talk. I'm going to give you some honest truth. But I love you when we're on the same team. Randall's not being on the same team about this right now.
Absolutely not.
So
he is like on the furthest team. He's not even on a team right now.
Can I just say that I'm jealous, though, that when he's anxious, he runs for 10 miles?
Oh, my God. What I would give to be able to do that.
Oh, my. Seriously.
I can't even run for 10 feet. Never mind 10 miles.
Jeez Louise.
I could drive 10 miles.
Blake and I are like, we're anxious. Let's make cookies. my great.
Hashtag truth.
Jack Pearson.
Church,
Jack Pearson. Yo. Jack Pearson. Like, I know. Remember how we're in the previous episodes? I was like, I know we're not going to be seeing a lot of him, and that's okay, but I miss it. And that's part of the reason why it's been hard for me to dole out fives. I love this character. I adored him trying to catch that dang bird. And you and I both were like laughing with tears in our eyes. And I was like, gosh, I love this man.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It was genuine. It felt real. It felt like, I don't know if it was a CGI bird, who knows, probably was, but the way that Milo was interacting with it, it just felt like...
It felt great.
It was awesome. And it felt real. It felt like it was maybe because... That was my great. Maybe because I experienced a spider in the same exact way.
Yeah. That you
was,
never know.
You never know. All right, for me, the good was... listen, this is going to sound bad, but the cliffhanger at the end with Kate and the apparent boyfriend and whatever... It felt a tad cheap to me.
Okay.
But. I loved the feeling that I got from it. I loved the feeling that I got from Rebecca and Kate and how they said, yeah, I didn't even see it happening. Like, neither of them did. And obviously, you don't know what they're referring to because it's a cliffhanger. And again, it's a little cheap. But I love the idea that everything seemed like it was going to be okay after this big speech that Rebecca has. And, you know, we don't have to be sad. We don't have to think about all the bad things because your dad died. We can be happy that he was here. We can be happy that we have these memories of him. And we all know that the Pearsons were a disaster. They were a disaster.
As they're supposed to be.
Exactly. So the fact that stuff happened, and the show is recognizing the fact that, yeah, even though this is all great and hunky-dory right now, things ain't okay. Stuff has happened in this time period between the teens and the 30s that we really have not explored all that much.
Yep.
Except for one episode in particular. And I like how the show recognizes that and maybe diving into that a little bit.
Oh, yeah. We're diving, honey. We're going to figure out what that is.
Right. So the bad for me was Randall. I got a tie. Come on, bro. Come on, bro. What are we doing?
Not great.
Oh, I have to play this for him.
Shame.
Seriously, man. That was bad.
Like, especially, like, knowing, okay, you just had this whole conversation. This is part of who you are. It's not even, like, just from you. Like, William had it. This is something that is in your family.
Right. Don't go denying it just because, you know, Beth came up with the idea or whatever, or you think you're tough enough, because clearly you're not. And the funny thing is that usually someone who's suffering from anxiety and depression and usually doesn't know better, they'll do the same thing that Randall does, which is, yeah, I'm fine. It's okay. It's all
right. I don't.
But that's because you know better.
Oh.
For someone who doesn't know better, you would think that copays. Randall does know better. Right? Yeah, we've paid so many copays, forget about it.
I'm like, something's wrong. I'm having a day. Watch out. High alert.
You would think that he knows better because he's gone through the whole process. Mm-hmm. And it's not that he's like living this repressed life where he either one can't afford therapy or two is old enough where therapy was bad the way that William had treated therapy. Like he's not of that generation. He's old enough and modern enough to understand that we got issues and we got to solve them. And if your wife is telling you, hey, man, we got to get this therapist for you, and she's trying to do it in the nicest way possible.
Yeah.
All I could think of was when Mary did that for me at one point. Yeah, it was bad for me. And I knew at that moment, if my wife is doing this for me, I gotta muscle up here and take care of this stuff. So that was my bad. But I have another one that's bad too.
Oh.
The show like retconning things here a little bit.
Do tell.
Where Jack is apparently terrified of birds. While it's cute, it's never come up. It's never come up before, ever.
Whatever, man. There's not like birds flying around your house all the time.
And then also, he puts hot sauce on everything.
Never seen him do that.
Never seen him do that before. We've seen him eat before. We've seen him eat lasagna before.
Put hot sauce on that. But I remember
they didn't put hot sauce on the burger. They didn't do nothing. There was no hot sauce anywhere. And it's not like he's even asked for hot sauce at a restaurant where he was like, "Hey, you got any hot sauce?" And they're like, "Nah." Like, it's never happened before.
Okay.
So it's kind of retconning only because they're making it seem like it was a thing, even though it's never been a thing. And they're having to relate it to what Beth does when she's a teenager by bringing the hot sauce to the dinner.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not like overly bad about it, but like, come on, man.
I know.
I swear sometimes this show writes just specifically for me. Just specifically for me, because they know, they must know that I am an absolute sucker for all things bookends. I love bookending. Bookending is the greatest thing ever in writing.
It's Julia. She listens to you and she's like, you know, guys, I'm the person that looks at all this footage the most, but you know who we need to look out for? This jabroni.
Yeah, this guy in Rhode Island in his basement. Who's afraid of spiders? Oh, man. There's nothing like a good bookend with Kevin and the ice cream telling the story to Nikki. And it was natural. And Nikki's deadpan delivery of like, yeah, he liked ice cream. And then that was it. Like, that was it. And Kevin's like, yeah. So I'm going to expand on that. He used to do this thing for me, yada, yada, yada. And then, of course, at the end of the episode, we learned that not only did Jack do that, but his father, who was a bastard.
Be careful. There are children listening.
That was said on the show. So, not me. That was said on the show. His father did that for both he and Nikki. And having that memory and having that help open Nikki up to the whole thing and having Nikki share that with Kevin. Oh, man. Oh, God, it gets right to my heart. Like, that was freaking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably the best thing for me this entire season so far.
Wow.
And you know, you know how we were talking about Jack and how we love Jack, and Jack is just the best?
Yes.
Part of me feels like they're making Kevin into that role now.
Completely.
They are angling for Kevin to fill that void that we're going to get less of Jack.
Yes.
And they're going to make Kevin that person.
I mean, I said it to you out loud while we were watching this episode. I said, I love how much time we're spending with Kevin.
Say it out loud.
What?
You said it to me out loud.
Oh. Nice.
You're welcome.
Wow. Well done. Well done, my friend.
All right. You ready for some big three feedback?
Yes.
Now that we're 28 minutes into this bad boy.
Jeez Louise.
All
yes.
right, let's do it.
And we said,
that's three.
Big three?
Big three.
Okay. Kicking things off, my friends. Eileen Marie gave this episode 4.7 lemonades. I can't get over how much I feel like This Is Us found its way back to its roots.
Hear, hear.
I'm loving the season so much more than season three. The good, the organization of this episode. There were actually quite a few stories going on in this episode, but I loved that they split it up into segments to help focus the stories and make everything a little more linear. By the end of it, I was pleasantly surprised by how much story they fit into the episode without feeling convoluted. A tentative bad. Randall refusing to see a therapist. I'm a super believer in therapy, and I loved that Beth tried to be proactive, but I'm worried that they're going to show us Randall having another breakdown, and it might feel like a redundant plot point. I'm making this attentive bad since I am interested in how they might portray it differently, but for now I'm cautious of this feeling like a recycled story. Ooh.
So say we all.
Oh, no, 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 no. Don't you dare. The Great was a tie between Jack trying to catch the bird and Rebecca telling the kids to get their whiny little asses back out to dinner and enjoy her damn burnt raw food.
Glenda Gingrich says The Good was seeing Kevin start to develop deeper relationships and what that is bringing out in him as he is looking out for those around him. The Bad, Randall refusing to acknowledge or accept help for his...
I know,
we're all on the same page. At what point will he break again? And Great, everything Nikki. I look forward to his storylines the most and love the friendship and trust developing with him and Kevin, and loved how the ice cream story was a bridge for them for both back to Jack. And the LOL line of the night was Miguel at supper and who were you again?
Yes.
You know, I have to play it just because that's what I got to do.
Y'all been sleeping on my boy Miguel.
I got to say this as a quick aside.
I have not been sleeping on Miguel.
As a quick aside, Miguel is playing the long game.
Okay, take a moment. Who said that?
You did.
First?
You did. I'm giving you full credit.
As soon as he had that wine, he was like, let me tell you. And I clapped on the couch and I went, look at Miggy. Because he said, some things are like worth the wait.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to let it like wait a little bit. And I'm like,
and the way she was looking at him.
Flipping game, Miggy.
Mm-hmm.
Long game.
He is in on it.
Oh my gosh, I can't. Okay.
He is in on Rebecca.
Leah Victoria said, finally back to horses. Blake, I hope you agree. I've given it 5 horses. As I watched, I found myself getting nervous the show is going to finish too quickly. Your girl Kay is back. The way this intermingled with all the different eras of the family, I loved seeing bearded Jack again, and the storytelling was a very clever way of creating a seam through each mini story, introducing mystery but keeping familiarity. I'll try a GBG, she says. Her good was the change of the family dinner party after Rebecca loses it with everyone in the kitchen, and how she reveals how tough she is actually doing to hold it together with her disappointments in Kevin's sudden marriage and the Polaroids and the clear shift to stop avoiding remembering Jack, but to have fun with the memories. When you lose a family member, it can be so hard to get to that point. The Bad, a sense of foreboding for Leah from Tess's comment about not wanting to be anything like him. I initially thought there might be more to that comment, like she's angry at him for more than just this trait.
Mm.
And the Great is the use of the meal continues to tell his stories, resolving to end it in pizza. This is a very clever, and it made me safe as a watcher to know what was coming next without actually knowing how the story would pan out. Also, I loved the subtle way that they're introducing Miguel into this family. It has to be believable for us, and I think this is a great start. Miguel's story makes him more and more likable as a nurturer of Rebecca in a different way than Jack was, and I liked this introduction of Mark. Left me wondering if this was the thing that made Kate lose control of the weight. She looked so happy at the dinner party, and then the photos found in the piano stool seemed to set an ominous tone. Bring it on next week.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Those photos set an ominous tone for Kate and what is happening, and clearly both Kate and Rebecca, and dare I say, the entire family were feeling that. It's not just for Kate. It's for everybody. Rebecca says to her, I didn't see what was going on with you kids, and I wish I had, or something to that effect.
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't see it. And Kate even says, too, I didn't see it either. I think it's an interesting plot point. It's something that I again, this was a little cheap to me. It was a tad cheap that all of a sudden, coincidental, that all of a sudden they happen to find these photos.
I disagree.
Really? How come?
First and foremost, as someone who's had a piano bench, let me tell you, the stuff you find in there takes you back. But I think that obviously this is going to be something that delves us into Kate. I'm excited about, because as sad as this is, like, now that Kate's not pregnant and now that we know what's going on with Jack a little bit, I'm not ready to like deal with the Kate Toby situation as much right now.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me sad. I don't know why, but Kate and Toby make me sad because I feel like they're gonna break up. But I feel like this is something that is going to shine a big light on Kate, and I freaking adore the actress who is teenage Kate.
Oh, Hannah Zeal.
I love her.
Yes.
So if we can spend some more time with her, Bring it on.
Yeah, I love the beginning and the part in the beginning where they're both she and the boyfriend are making out at the record store, and then some guy yelled out, "Hey, does anybody actually work here?" And, you know, they're both in the back. Yeah. You know, it might be interesting to see how they compare and contrast this, what appears to be a toxic relationship eventually between the new boyfriend and young Kate, and how maybe the relationship between Toby and Kate falls apart.
Yeah.
It'll be an interesting compare and contrast ideal.
Well, especially because they didn't necessarily make this guy seem to be too bad. I would have hated if it was like, so obvious, boyfriend's a dick, right. You know, and then like, oh yeah, I'm surprised we didn't see the writing on the wall. Like, I liked that we got to see Kate happy. And I liked that for the most part. I mean, granted, Kevin seems to have Kevin's like a really good gauge of people.
Sure. Like, despite what everybody probably thinks, he really is a good
teacher. He's a great barometer.
Yeah.
The man, he knows what's up.
There was something that happens in this episode that I really liked, and which is why we played the scene at the beginning of our podcast episode, which is this notion of a favorite person. Mm-hmm. That phrase is used multiple times in this episode, particularly by Beth, when she's talking about my three favorite people on this planet, and also Cassidy's husband, who yes. says that was my favorite person and this thing broke my favorite person.
Yes.
And the theme in this episode, I feel like, is, you know, a lot of people choose themes like, oh, love or brotherhood or family. And those are not themes. That's just a subject. A theme, in my opinion, has to be something that is specific. It has to ask you a question. It has to make a statement or even make a statement rather. And I feel like the theme in this particular episode is your favorite things can be broken, but they're never gone.
Except for the lasagna.
Your favorite person, rather, yeah. Let's say. Your favorite person can be broken, and but they are still a person. They're still a thing. The family is broken after Jack dies.
Yes.
They're broken. But they're still a family. They're still able to move on. Whether or not you believe Randall and Tess are broken the way that, you know, you may think that they are because of their anxiety, they're still a person. That is what makes them who they are. Mm-hmm. Cassidy is broken, but that's okay. She is. The war broke her, but she's still a person. She's still viable.
Yeah, and I really loved how he was like, stay away from my wife.
Yeah.
And it wasn't stay away from her, it was my wife.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. All right, now let's just gut check here.
Okay,
gut check. Where do you think this story is going with Kevin and Cassidy?
I think that he does help them get back together.
Do you think that it's going to happen?
Yes.
How come?
Because Kevin's a good judge of character, and he's telling me that he still loves her. So unless Cassidy really goes back to drinking, mm-hmm. I think that this is a story that we didn't get to have with Kevin of dealing with alcoholism, and we didn't get with Kevin being an alcoholic, really working on the recovery and getting your old life back. Mm-hmm. We didn't get that. His relationship didn't work out. His relationships did not work out. Mm-hmm. And I would like to see it work out for another individual who battles the same illness.
Sure. Kevin, his story so far is absolutely the most emotionally engaging story mm-hmm. for season 4. Mm-hmm. And the people that surround him are also the most engaging emotionally for season 4. The stuff with Nikki was spectacular.
Yes.
I mean, utterly spectacular. Mm-hmm. And I mean, one of the best things, again, this show has done is when Nikki is freaking out at the hockey game.
And Kevin is like so aloof to it. Kevin needs to watch a movie about PTSD with war vets or something.
I know. Maybe he has to watch like Platoon or something.
I think he needs to watch This Is Us.
Or Born on the 4th of July. Like, seriously, that movie. Or Rambo. Rambo is all about PTSD and all what that does to you. The first one.
He's friends with Sylvester Stallone.
Right.
He's watched Rambo.
That's right. That was Jack's favorite. He should know.
Driven!
Not okay.
Shame.
Writers, shame. Shame on the writers.
Julia, do me a favor and say this to the writers.
Not great,
you know,
Bob.
What? They're brand new.
That's right.
They don't know. They don't know. They don't know about Rambo. You're welcome.
Unbelievable.
He would have known about PTSD from vets.
Should have known. Absolutely. Well, anyway, at any rate, I loved, even though the writers are new and they clearly have no idea about Rambo or the relationship that Kevin has with his dad
to
Rambo.
Casey and David, it's okay.
I really love the imagery that they evoked with Nicky when he is when he's coming out of the water as he's freaking out in the hockey game and he says, "I just gotta get out of here."
Totally agree.
I gotta get out. Because that imagery immediately ascribes a certain feeling that you get while watching it immediately. There's no explanation that's needed, nothing. You know, not only is the feeling of drowning really bad, but that you know why he is in the water. Mm-hmm. You know what that has done to his relationship with his brother. All of it. It's all right there. And it is just...
Oh, so good.
God darn it.
What?
It was just so good.
Aside from Rambo.
Aside from the Rambo thing that we now have, discovered this.
It's okay.
Cornish Game Hens.
Yeah.
It's actually a reference. The This Is Us has actually talked about Cornish Game Hens before.
Really?
As a matter of fact, it was back in season 2, episode 16, when the kids were celebrating Jack and Rebecca's anniversary. Remember, they make the dinner for them? And they said, "Oh, we don't want to do any gifts," because Rebecca was always overwhelmed by the fact that Jack always gave her the best anniversaries and she couldn't do nothing.
Okay.
And Jack convinces the kids to make the dinner. They make Cornish Game Hens for...
Oh, my gosh.
It's in the episode Vegas Baby.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Cool, huh?
Oh my gosh, maybe that's why she made it.
Oh, you never know.
Because she was like, this is the fancy thing that Kevin, you know, because it was Kevin who was the real pusher for that.
Sure.
Kevin was the one who was like, we need to make something really nice for them. We need to make them a nice meal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh my God. Imagine if that's why, if she's like, Kevin thinks this is fancy.
So we knew at the beginning of the episode that Bearded Jack. Oh, God, I love Bearded Jack.
Mm-hmm.
Bearded Jack and Rebecca was taking place in May of 1980, because we saw it on the calendar in the beginning. And 18 years later, we have Sophie and Kevin getting married. So that puts us in May of 1998, which means that Miguel has been staying with Rebecca and everybody. Not staying, but like... hanging out with her a lot, because young Kate says, yeah, he might as well bring a sleeping bag because he's been here so much. But we also know that in the fall of the year 2008, that is when Rebecca and Miguel reconnect.
So why do they fall apart?
So what happens to make them fall apart?
Oh my gosh, I don't know. I'm so nervous.
Something tells me that this is going to happen this season.
Maybe he leans in. Maybe he leans in for a kiss.
Yeah.
And she's like, yo, no.
Yeah, I get that feeling. I get that feeling.
Yeah, the wine was like that feeling.
Yeah, it was that first little bit in. And maybe she just thinks that, yeah, it's too soon, man. Can't.
Man, Miguel.
Can't do it.
Okay. All right. In and outs.
Are you ready for In-N-Out?
Yes.
Oh, hold on. We gotta play our song. Hold on.
Oh,
we are
I know.
Sound.
I'm ready. I'm excited.
What's it gonna be, McFly? Are you in or out?
All right. In or out on expensive wines?
Out.
I'm in on expensive wine.
Oh.
I kind of like it.
I like buying cheap wine.
Give me the Carlo Rossi. Yeah, the one on the bottom shelf. That's the $4 special.
Listen, I am not picky. My girlfriend actually said to me this weekend, she's like, you're lucky that you can drink anything.
Really?
because she's very picky about what she drinks. Yeah. And I was like, I'll have anything on this menu.
All right. In or out on dad jokes. When Miguel makes the dad joke about Modest Mouse, who I just saw live, by the way, with the Black Keys. They were phenomenal.
Yeah.
He makes the dad joke about Modest Mouse, the band. In or out on dad jokes?
In.
I'm out.
I feel like my dad makes dad jokes.
All the time.
Yeah. So, like, I'm in.
All right. In or out on Cornish game hens?
Out.
Out. Way out. Don't know what they are. Don't want to eat them. Don't care.
But I'm down for turducken.
All right. In or out, mozzarella sticks with hot sauce.
In.
Out.
Oh, my gosh. Are you serious?
You cannot put hot sauce on mozzarella sticks.
It's like buffalo chicken pizza without chicken.
No, because the mozzarella stick is still cold. It is cold in form. It's peeling. If you want to put hot sauce on hot mozzarella, that's different.
That's what I was talking about, is hot mozzarella. I forgot I was eating on cold. You know, I'm down with some hot sauce.
On a cold mozzarella stick?
I'll eat it all.
That is absurd. That is, dare I say, a jailable offense.
Sorry.
All right, in a row, boyfriends showing up unannounced. And being kind of creepy, by the way, got her address application.
That's kind of like something I would do.
This guy creeps me out, man.
I mean, he's supposed to creep you out. We know he's supposed to creep you out right now. Sorry.
All right, so in or out on boyfriends showing up unannounced?
Out.
I am out, too. All right.
That's something I would do.
Beer or whiskey? So that's not, it's kind of an in. Are you more in on beer or are you more in on whiskey?
If it's wet, I don't know. I just want cocoa, man. That's all I want is cocoa.
All right, in or out on hockey?
Out.
I'm in on live hockey, and like I'm from New England, so I do enjoy hockey, but I'm more in on live hockey as opposed to TV hockey.
I'm saying out right now because my son wants to play hockey, and all I keep seeing is visions of 12-year-old him with his teeth bashed out.
Oh God, no thanks. All right, and that is the end of In or Out. By popular demand,
yeah,
we have a new hot take theme.
Good. Ooh, yeah, man.
All right, what's your hot take?
That this situation with anxiety in Randall is actually going to get him hospitalized.
Really?
Yeah.
And like worse than before? Than when Beth showed up talking to William?
Yeah.
After that first one?
I think it's going to happen again, man. You know why? I'm done with politics. Let's get him out of office. He needs to go and have a breakdown and get on meds, because anxiety is not a quick fix.
No, it's not.
It's your life, man. And maybe not hospitalized, but he's having a big, I mean, we all know he's having a big one, but I think it's actually going to be that big that it becomes an impediment in his job.
You know, you brought something up that's apropos for this conversation, which is the politics, and you're done with it.
Yeah.
I think the politics story is starting to kind of work for me. I'm kind of in on it now. And I'm kind of in on it because the politics isn't the thing.
Yeah.
It's the thing that gets us to the thing.
Yeah.
Which is the anxiety.
Okay.
And how those things relate.
Yeah.
And the relationships should influence the politics and not vice versa.
Okay.
That's why I'm in on it. My hot take. You know, I'm kind of with you, Mary, that this is not the beginning of the end, but the beginning of a real evolution for Beth and Randall. And I don't see this ending well. We know that they're still married in the future. We get that. But I just don't see it ending well. And this whole thing with the creepy boyfriend, I think his name's Mark. I can't remember.
I think it is too.
Anyway, the thing with the creepy boyfriend, yeah, he scares me, dude. He's got like a weird face. He's got like a weird creepy face.
Okay.
I feel like he was one of those kids that was in like the trench coat mafia in like the early 90s.
Yeah.
Like the weird kids.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
With the zits and everything.
I mean, those were my friends.
Yeah, weird.
They actually weren't my friends. I sat next to them. I wasn't cool enough to be their friend.
I feel like this kid probably does some really creepy stuff to her. And it's going to affect the piercings.
God, no, I'm afraid. Okay.
All right. So that is that. Are you ready to close this bad boy out?
Sure am.
Let's do it.
Guys, thank you so much for for joining and for listening and for letting people know about this podcast. Whoop, rewind that. Yeah. Letting people know about this podcast. Well, how can you do that? You're like, girl, I haven't told a single person. Do you talk about this show? I know you do. I know you have a coworker, a sister, a mom, a friend who you talk about this with. So tell them about the podcast. And you can screenshot your phone and share that in your stories and tag Marianne Blake on Instagram or on Facebook. And that's how you can let people know about the podcast.
Find us on Instagram. Find us on Facebook.
Julia did.
She found us on the gram. Join the This Is Us group. Find us at marianneblake.com. Email us, gram us, tweet us.
Let us know you're there.
Facebook us.
I'm Mary.
My name's Blake.
And this is us too.